Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of two.
Well, welcome to Kidney Talk, everyone. Today we're going to be speaking about an interesting subject, and it's artificial intelligence and how we deal with, medication and understanding labs and dosing. And today we're going to be speaking to Dr. George Aronoff. He's the chief medical officer and co-inventor of DOSIS, D-O-S-I-S, and he has over 30 years of experience in nephrology. He is previously the chief of nephrology and hypertension at the University of Louisville. Welcome to the show, Dr. Aronoff.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
So tell us a little bit about what is artificial intelligence?
To understand artificial intelligence, let's start out with recognizing that it's a set of mathematical approaches that are encoded into computer software. And for medical purposes, we use it to help doctors to make better decisions by interpreting complicated clinical data. So it's just a set of problem-solving tools, if you will. There's really nothing artificial about it. It's all math. And artificial intelligence certainly doesn't replace a physician's judgment. Artificial intelligence is really good at making predictions of future events from information that we give it about past events, but it's not a replacement for physician judgment. It amplifies a physician's judgment in the same way that, say, a stethoscope amplifies heart sounds to make it easier for the doctor to make a diagnosis. So the use of artificial intelligence, or sometimes it's referred to AI, helps a doctor to achieve more precise and individualized treatments. And we're talking today particularly about medications. And so DOSIS developed software that helps doctors to maximize the therapeutic safety and effectiveness of some medications that we use commonly in patients that have kidney disease. And because of the successes that we've seen with these dosing tools that DOSIS has developed, I think it's likely that we'll see artificial intelligence-driven dosing support become a sort of a standard for drug prescribing, particularly for those drugs where the difference between a good outcome and a bad outcome are pretty close together.
When I hear artificial intelligence, I kind of think somebody's spying on me. But when you say it's mathematical intelligence, really, you're just taking my own information that's been reported and putting it through an algorithm, and then it comes out on the other side. Is that a good explanation, simplified?
That's a very perfect, simple explanation of exactly what the software does.
Because when I hear
mathematical equation,
when I hear artificial intelligence, I think of Big Brother's looking at me and, you know, making assumptions about me that is not based on fact. But in this case, artificial intelligence means you're using the patient's own lab values and different outcomes to then run through a system and make a better choice that's more patient-centered. Is that a good basic understanding of it? But I think people think it's going to start their car and run it into people or something. That's what I think of when I hear artificial intelligence. Like it's going to take over my car and drive it down the street.
Well, artificial intelligence could start a car, but that's not what we're doing.
Okay. I mean, but it's like all lumped together. I think they need to change the name to mathematical intelligence. I like that one better. But anyway, so tell us a little bit about, one of the things that DOSIS is doing is monitoring anemia and treating it. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what anemia is, because I think some people just don't understand it because they don't really do anything about it. The healthcare team does.
Anemia is a diagnosis that patients have when they don't have enough red blood cells. And as you know, red blood cells are the mechanism by which oxygen gets to all of our organs, our muscles, our brains, and our kidneys as well. And if we don't have enough red blood cells, then oxygen doesn't get to our tissues the way that it's supposed to. It can make us feel tired. It can make us feel weak. It can cause problems with thinking and other organ functions. And in its most severe forms, anemia can cause heart attacks and strokes and other organ failure. So the thing about kidney disease and anemia is that the kidneys are the major producer of a hormone called erythropoietin. Mm-hmm. And erythropoietin is a hormone that goes to the bone marrow and tells the bone marrow to make more red blood cells. The kidney is very sensitive at being able to measure oxygen. And when it senses that there's not enough red blood cells, it sends this message to the bone marrow through the hormone that it makes, erythropoietin. Now, when patients have kidney disease, the kidneys don't make enough erythropoietin, and so we have to replace that to prevent kidney patients from getting more severe anemia. And for example, for dialysis patients, we often give an artificial form of erythropoietin called EPO or Aranesp or Mircera to help their bone marrow to stimulate it to make more red blood cells.
Well, and the, you know, there's been a lot of vagueness. I've followed the whole anemia story since, I mean, I got 150 units of blood before EPO was even created. So I feel like I'm an anemia expert on understanding, you know, how awful you can feel when you get down to a low number. You know, what would you suggest as a target hemoglobin? Because I think patients really need to become aware of their body and not be kept too low.
Yeah. So, Lori, the ideal hemoglobin for an individual patient may be different for every individual person. And that's why the dosing software that we developed for erythropoietin and other medications that we call erythropoiesis stimulating agents or ESAs, one of the reasons why that software is so important is because it individualizes the dose of these medications to achieve the hemoglobin that your doctor and you have decided is the best for you, rather than some average hemoglobin that might be good for a population. And that's the way that drugs are frequently prescribed. Recommendations from pharmaceutical manufacturers are often based on population studies that provide, in general, the average dose of a medication for a population. But you know, Lori, all the times that I've been caring for patients, I've never once written a prescription for a population, but always for an individual patient. And so doctors recognize this deficiency, and they modify their dosing from the recommendations as best they can from their own clinical experience to tailor the dose of whatever medication they're giving for that individual patient. And as you can imagine, there's a great deal of variation among physicians and their skills and their experience. And this is particularly true for medications that we use to treat anemia. And these variations can lead to adverse effects or maybe not as efficient dosing of the medication. And that's why the software that Dosis has developed is so special. It takes into account every individual patient's own response to the medication and then predicts the dose that would be best to achieve the hemoglobin, for example, that you and your doctor have decided makes you feel the best and has the best likelihood of a good outcome.
And does it take into account like iron and different things that are also utilized for dosing?
So it can, but mostly, rather than measuring or recording the iron, it actually records your response to your previous dose of EPO. So if you have enough iron, you'll respond in a particular way. If you don't have enough iron, you will respond in a different way, and it will adjust the dose of the EPO medicine, the ESA, to achieve the best outcome. Nodosis is also working on an addition to the software, the decision support software that they have now, that incorporates iron into the equation. And so it's likely that it'll be even more precise and quicker at correcting anemia.
Well, and so does this software, is it like real time, or do you set it to look at it like once a week to do the dosing? I guess every clinic individualizes how often they dose EPO and draw their blood. Is that accurate?
So you're right. Every clinic and for that matter, every doctor and every patient will decide how frequently they need to measure the hemoglobin in order to best treat the anemia. And the dosing software can make a recommendation for the next dose every time that a hemoglobin is measured. But we've done research to determine how frequently it is best to measure the hemoglobin and then make a dosing change based on the patient and the medication that they're receiving. And for most patients, measuring the hemoglobin once a month and making a dose adjustment monthly is very good. Now, for patients that have hemoglobin values that are changing rapidly, then it's better to measure the hemoglobin more frequently, maybe every 2 weeks or even weekly.
A lot of anemia issues are dependent on, you know, fluid management and can be impacted with, you know, hospitalization or infection. How do you take that into consideration? Because, you know, fluid is directly related to anemia management.
Yeah, fluid and inflammation, infection, hospitalization, all of these factors impact how a patient responds to erythropoiesis-stimulating agents, to their medications, and they affect how they respond in other ways, too. And that's one of the benefits of this software. It recognizes your individual response, whether you've been hospitalized or not, whether you're fluid overloaded or not, whether you have inflammation or not. It will recognize your response to the medication and adjust the dose according to your response, depending on whether you've been hospitalized or any of the other myriad of things that can happen.
Well, and I mean, you know, that's interesting. So it takes the history of, if you've been taking anemia treatment for like 6 months, they can kind of go back and say, oh, wow, they've really responded well to ESAs in the past. So I anticipate, the software anticipates that you will respond better in the future. And then it gives you kind of a readout. Is that kind of an easy explanation? I'm trying to visualize it. I'm such a visual person.
That's exactly what it does. In fact, it takes 3 or 4 months of hemoglobin and drug dose information and estimates your responsiveness to the medicine that you're receiving. And then it predicts what your hemoglobin would be 3 months from now if it continued the same dose, increased the dose, or decreased the dose, and how much of an increase, decrease, or the same dose you would need in order to have that stable hemoglobin that you and your doctor have decided is best for you to have 3 months from now. And it will always try to improve your response to that hemoglobin level that your doctor and you have decided is best.
You know, I had an interesting thought. How different do patients respond to ESAs? Is it drastically different? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess when I think of transplant immunosuppressant medication, you know, all my transplant friends are basically pretty much on like 500 to 2,000 milligrams of a medication. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's pretty much in the same ballpark. Is anemia management the same, or do you have people that take very little and some people need a lot?
There's a lot of variation in how individual patients respond to their anemia medication. And that's why the one-size-fits-all kind of program where if your hemoglobin goes up a little bit, we give you we decrease the dose a little bit. If it goes down a little bit, we give you a little bit more. every individual patient responds differently, and there's a very wide range of doses that patients are on. Not only that, but patients change over time.
Right.
You know, if you're feeling well for 3 months and everything's going great, and you're on a particular dose of a medication and responding, but then you get an infection and have to go to the hospital and you're ill, your responsiveness to that medication will change. And the software will recognize that and adjust the dose accordingly.
So you don't have to be, your hemoglobin doesn't have to drop so low that you need a blood transfusion just because they didn't catch it early enough. Is that,
That's exactly right. The computer program will recognize that the hemoglobin has dropped, and then it will make a slight change. If the hemoglobin drops again, it'll make a bigger change. And it will adjust based on your response to the dose that you've been given, not to an average amount that's given to average patients, which is the way that a lot of medications are dosed today.
Well, and, you know, I'm a big fan of a product called the Critline. I mean, anybody who has dinner with me knows that I'll end up talking about that product. But it's, you know, it's amazing because when I was on hemodialysis, and I did, full disclosure, I did work for the inventor of the product back in the 90s. But just to see my hematocrit in real time or my hemoglobin, knowing what it is, it gave me a sense of comfort. And, I used to get, as I said, 2 units of blood every 6 weeks. And when your hemoglobin drops, you feel so bad. And I frequently get calls at RSN saying, oh, I don't feel good. I'm this, I'm that. And I'm like, what's your hemoglobin? And they're like, 8. And I'm like, well, that might be the culprit. Talk to your doctor. And it's just so important because can you express a little bit of, if you need a blood transfusion, you should get one. But why, if you can be proactive and have good anemia management, how it benefits you from not getting a blood transfusion?
You know, we always want to avoid blood transfusions if we can. Certainly, one of the most important reasons, particularly for dialysis patients, is that blood that you receive from someone else contains antigens, proteins that you can form antibodies to, and those antibodies can make it more difficult for us to match you with a transplant. And that's one of the major reasons why we try very hard to avoid transfusions. And that makes more individualized and precise dosing of the medicines that we use to treat anemia even more important.
Well, it's, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, had 100% antibodies. And thankfully, to medical modern science, I was able to get transplanted successfully. But, you know, I'm sure if you turn the lights on, I glow in the dark from all the treatment that I got to get the kidney to work, but very grateful for it. But, you know, sometimes you need blood. And but it's great if you can take all the precautions that you can to prevent it.
So one of the reasons why we developed this software was because we recognized that we always want to give the lowest dose of a medication that we can and still get the result that's best for the patient. Because every medication, and this is true for medicines that we use to treat anemia, every medication has adverse effects that get worse with higher doses. And so we always want to use medication in the lowest dose possible in order to achieve the desired outcome. And that's what the DOSIS software does. It allows us to use anemia management medicine in the most efficient way possible. And it's about patient safety as anything else.
Well, and it's so important that patients be aware of their hemoglobin and hematocrit. And maybe you could just give a kind of an overview of hemoglobin and hematocrit, because I sometimes forget that people who are listening don't really understand what lab values may indicate their anemia level.
So hemoglobin is a protein that transports oxygen all over our body. It picks up the oxygen in your lungs and carries it to all of your organs and tissues because they all need oxygen in order to stay alive and to function. And hemoglobin, this protein, is carried almost entirely inside of red blood cells. And that hemoglobin is made largely in order to carry that oxygen. It's placed into red blood cells in the bone marrow, and then the bone marrow releases red blood cells into the bloodstream to carry that oxygen. And we use the measure of that protein, the hemoglobin, as a measure of how much blood is transmitting or transporting oxygen around your bloodstream.
Well, and like
the hematocrit is another measure of red blood cells. It's the percentage of red blood cells actually in your blood. So it's generally about three times the level of hemoglobin. So someone with a hemoglobin of 12 would have a hematocrit of 36 on average.
Well, and I think that's an interesting visual because, you know, you read hemoglobin and it's, you know, your hemoglobin's 10, 12. I'm really happy to report mine's 13 because I have a transplant. And it's you know, you times it by three. And so if you go 12 by three, so 30%. 36% of your blood supply is red blood cells. And in the normal population, people's hemoglobins are 15 to 17, you know, so it does give you a perspective on if you go down to 8 or 7, 8, 9, how little red blood cells you have in your intravascular structure. And I think it's important for patients to stay on top of it. And it's really great that there's some intelligence because so often people are in the hospital and then somehow it's not communicated to the dialysis facility that they were hospitalized. And then their hemoglobin starts dropping and it takes some time to get it back to normal. It's not like it happens overnight.
Exactly.
You know, it's definitely. Well, also, can you share a little bit about where you think artificial intelligence or mathematical intelligence, I still can't get over the artificial intelligence, but mathematical intelligence is helping patient care?
So certainly with the success that we've seen with managing anemia in patients with kidney disease, I think we will continue to see artificial intelligence used as decision support for physicians and other prescribers for medication management. Certainly other medications besides anemia medicines that we use to treat mineral and bone disorders in patients with kidney disease, medications that we use for anticoagulants could certainly benefit from more precise and individualized drug dosing. And outside of medications, artificial intelligence in the way that we've described it is also being used to help interpret x-rays and other radiologic procedures, biopsies, and other visual media. So I think that artificial intelligence now has a strong foothold in helping physicians make better judgments, make better decisions about patient care. And I think we'll continue to see artificial intelligence expand in uses as decision support for physicians.
Well, thank you, Doctor.
That was our goal when we started.
I know. It's so true. I mean, you can't cookie cut healthcare, and everybody presents themselves in an individual situation, circumstances, and if you can treat people as individuals, we all have a better outcome. Well, Dr. Aronoff, tell us a little bit about if people want to learn more about this. Is there any place that they could go or your website to learn more about this?
They can certainly go to the dosisinc.com website. Describes the work that we've been doing. And so the specific software is called Strategic Anemia Advisor that was developed by DOSIS, and they can certainly find out more information at that website.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, this has been very informative, and for those who are listening, you know, ask your clinic, ask what they're doing to treat your anemia, and learn what is best for you. What number do you feel good at? And if, you know, it's a little too low, Sometimes you need to, you know, really communicate with your doctor that you may need to be kept at a higher number. And I know several patients have done that and been successful, because it really depends on, you know, your individual needs and lifestyle. So, thank you very much. And I look forward to seeing you at a future meeting, Dr. Aronoff.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.